Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for our service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Norman and Will and Monica and myself, for all our absent brethren. I pray, Lord, your good hand upon them, and that you would see Ling and Dr. Shang safely home. So much going on in the world, Lord. I pray your good hand upon us as we take this time aside from it, just to let you work on our hearts and minds, get a bit of a refreshing and a bit of center in life. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your son. Thank you for this little bit of time. Please bless it, Lord, and please use it to work on our hearts and minds and bodies. And Lord, you know our private prayer requests too. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant those according to your will. I pray for healing, I pray for comforting, for strengthening, for wisdom, for boldness, and Lord, for a clear view of you, Lord, in this world. Thank you for loving us and for all that you've done for us, Father. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I want to start with 320 in the big book. 320. Oh, to be like thee, 320.
Sing the Lord, we're singing. hymn books, so got a few to sing from here this evening. Got a request for number 8. So let's all turn to number 8. Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Hymn number 8.
Sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who live forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that live forever, and cast the crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen.
Amen.
Do you know, I have been looking for that verse, verse number 11, for a donkey's age. For some reason, I thought it was back in Colossians. And I couldn't find it for the life of me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, Lord, created. Amen. Thank you for that. Just a quick reminder about our prayer list. I take it nothing has changed since this morning, so please do remember that. Lynn and Dr. Shane still have to travel, so they'll be travelling probably come the end of our service. They'll be hopping on a plane. Please do pray for them. I think Frank he's on his home territory now, so please do pray for him. By all accounts, everything went okay in Morocco. And that's that. We got our list of private prayer requests. Please don't forget, Mary Ann is due to go in this time next week, tomorrow next week, for surgery on her knees. So please do pray about that. So there's a lot of other things going on, but just want to say thank you very much, Norman, for all of your help and hard work over the past 9 months. And all of this wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for you, so we appreciate that. And everybody, like everybody that's here, put their shoulder to the grindstone at some time along the lines for painting and keeping the army marching on its belly, Mrs. Bradfield. So, and for all the rest of it, we appreciate it. But if it hadn't been for Mr. Wilson over here, it wouldn't have happened at all. Getting me motivated and one thing and another. And some days it was difficult when the rain was coming down or whenever things just weren't working out the way we would have liked, but it's pretty much done, bar the shouting, so we're glad to see it. Looking forward to getting this rededication service going, so please do pray about that. And lastly, I would ask that you pray for me. I can get something sorted out about my side, whatever's going on with that, and get everything back on track. One other thing, a little while back we heard that there had been a group visiting Derry, or a plan to visit there, from an acquaintance in the Free Presbyterian Church, so we contacted them online, and we received a phone call from them today. We're supposed to be in the town in about a fortnight's time, so we will have an opportunity to meet them. They are, by all accounts, they will be in Dublin and Belfast and then here, and I think maybe Cork or something along that lines as well. So please do pray about that. I think the fellow's name is Nico. I couldn't quite, Peru or something like that, from the States, and we'll see what happens. Hopes to come up and visit with us for an hour or two. And if it's a decent day, we'll take him into town, give him a megaphone, and out a few gospel tracts. So I'll let you know as and when that all happens, and something to look forward to. I think that's about that. Is there anything else you need to be making a note of? Pray for Norman. He runs up and down a ladder and paints a house. He's never stops. Never stops. I want to say I wish I had his energy at the moment, but please do pray for Norman as he works away. I think that's about that. Don't forget Lynn, Frank, Dr. Shine, Colin and Charlotte, they're up at 8 o'clock fishing this evening. I hope they get everything that they need up there. Please do also pray for Pat and Steve, who's up. And yes, Pat's son Colin seemingly has a bad dose of this, of flu, of COVID, and he seems to be struggling a bit with it, so we'll appreciate your prayers for the next few days and weeks. Monica doesn't have it, she just needs a mental, so she keeps her from coughing and spluttering. Fella's name's Colin. Colin, oh goodness, I should know. Name's Colin. Please do pray. For I should know his name as well. It's on the tip of my tongue. His dad's name was Ian.
Not Cheshire.
Colin Cheshire. Please do pray. Thank you. Right, we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song.
Amen. Inspire.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for the life and health and strength you've given us. I pray, please, that you would watch over us and bless us as we take this time in your presence. You know all the things that's going on, Lord, our private prayer requests. Pray especially for Colin at this time, for the flu that he's picked up, Lord. I pray that you would help him over with no lasting side effects. For Norman, whenever he's working on his house down there at the Fintown Road, please watch over and protect him and keep him and provision him. For Lord, for Marianne, she gets ready to go up that ligament for surgery. For myself, Lord, for whatever's going on with my insides right now, I pray you'd be a good hand upon me. And Lord, for all those that's getting a difficult time, help us, Lord, always to keep our eyes upon you and to think on you and to remember you. In our private prayer requests, Lord, please, I pray you grant them according to your will. And for all those, Lord, our brothers and sisters that are out there in the world, please give us our daily bread. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, of course, we're not forgetting Israel. Please bless and keep them. And please greatly oppose wickedness, Lord, in the world we live in. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're in the Wee Black Books again. If you'd like to take your Wee Black Book and turn to number 13. Number 13 in the Wee Black Book is Guide the Old Outreach Jehovah.
Guide me, O my friend, and hold my pilgrim through.
last wee while, but those are good ones. Those are good ones. We'll finish this part with number 29. Precious Lord, take my hand. Good old songs. Appreciate the singing. Let's crack on for one more.
And then I'll give you a break for 15 or 20 minutes.
Times two or three.
I'll be asking questions during the sermon.
Yeah, we'll be referring anyone.
My precious gift to you is... Well, it's only 20 past 7. Come on, man. Bear with me. I'll not be too sore.
His house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came,
And the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. You probably know which verses were taken as our particular text, verses 24, 25, 26, and 27, where it talks about the two possible foundations that a person can have in this life. We'll have a wee comment on one or two other things before we get to those. So let's, well, would you say a wee word of prayer for us and ask the Lord to be with us?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again, the loving Heavenly Father, for righteousness and justice and goodness and peace and truth. And Lord, yes, that you bestow it to us, Lord. We want our number tonight, Lord, in the Spirit of Mass, Lord. Give us a blessing, Lord, that we may know that thou lovest us so much, Lord. And Lord, give us strength, Lord, this week, our new week, Lord. With the hearers of the gospel through the CD, Lord, as well. Bless them also as well, Lord. With our brother, with Lynn, Frank, and Dr. Shang, as a child, Lord, keep them safe and well, Lord. And bring them home in safety, Lord. And bless them and keep them as well, Lord. Bless them as well. With Paul and Charlotte, Lord, help them as well. Bless them and bring them to church and appoint them as well, Lord. With Stephen Carl and John, save their souls, Lord, bring them to the cross. And may they accept the Lord Jesus' call, Lord. Put their trust in Lord Jesus and be saved, Lord. That's your promise, your God promises, Lord. And we see that promise. We see that promise in our lives, Lord. And we know that they are our loving God, Lord. And we have also Pat and Steve, help Steve, Lord. Help to alleviate his pain, alleviate his discomfort. Give us sleep night. Give also Pat respite as well, Lord. Bless him and keep him as well. Bless him often as well, Lord. We have my grandest goes to the hospital, Lord. May go ahead, Lord. And may not be postponed again, Lord. And Lord, may give her Healer knee, Lord, as well, Lord, and may the surgery be a success, Lord. Give us in the church tonight, Lord, give us a draw, and those in all of the believing Christian churches, Lord, and the souls that you might be saved, you may churches as well, Lord, but the word might be divided properly, Lord, and the spirit may be working, those are lost, Lord, and save souls might be properly. We also, most importantly, must praise our great and holy name and love thee, Lord, and worship thee as I ought us to be, Lord.
And give us Amen. Thank you, Will. A lot going on in the world, whereby even the things that we have a personal stake in, plenty to pray about. If there was ever a time in the whole history of man that we needed to hear these words, the warnings and the encouragements, it's now. Of all the times and of all of the possible, how would you put it? Salvation, saviors that there are out there. There's only one that delivers, and the Lord said, look out for these false prophets. There's a lot of people promising you the sun, the moon, and the stars. I think we just had a perfect example of one in our Prime Minister who so many people look to and seem to be doing such a good job of, in quotes, saving the country. And it didn't take too long before the woman that he ditched his wife for and shacked up with became pregnant and then became his wife. And all of a sudden, this man that was supposed to be the saviour of the UK became nothing more than a shill for Satan and the New World Order. God's word says, be careful. Watch. Look at the things that they do. Listen to the things that they say. Make sure they add up. They match up. Because a lot of people say one thing and do another, but the Bible doesn't even say listen to what they say. It says look at the results of their action. Look at them, watch them, consider them. Don't act in haste. And see if anyone ever says you need to make a decision now. That is the one time in your life when you need to take a month or an hour or a day and consider things. The Lord said, you know what, a good guy is not going to do bad things. And a bad guy is not going to do good things. You might couch them in acceptable terms, but they're not. A leper can't change his spots. And the Lord goes on for three or four verses and says, just keep your wits about you. Always be thinking, And the underlying text in that is, how do you know when someone's doing something good? It doesn't just mean that if someone's doing something good, it does not mean that they're giving you £1,000. Because I remember a guy that offered to, if I gave him £100 on a Friday night, he would have £200 for me on a Monday morning. This was in Desmond. And I said, what do you be doing? He says, it's probably better you don't ask. And I thought, I'll forego that business opportunity in quotes. But what he was doing was obviously buying drugs and selling them out at the parties at the weekend. And more than doubling his money. Just because someone offers to do something good for you does not necessarily mean it's a good thing. All of our standards change. And what is acceptable today was very, very unacceptable and sometimes illegal just a few years ago. If you want the yardstick of something that never changes and gives you something to base your life upon, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you should be familiar with God's word. And then if someone says something, you'd be thinking, well, they shouldn't be saying things like that. Shouldn't be taking the Lord's name in vain. They shouldn't be making crass jokes. They shouldn't be cursing and swearing at one thing and another. Good people shouldn't be doing that. And if someone says, well, in the front of the church, that it's okay to kill your unborn children, the Bible plainly says it's not. Bible says you're known from the moment of your conception before your body is even formed in the womb. God knows you. That means you are a distinct personality. And if you were to take a tiny little piece of that DNA at only maybe just a cell or two at only a week, a few days old, you would find that DNA is completely different to everybody else in the world. Own distinct person. God says you should be mindful of that. Life is precious. And yeah, it's just another example of the many ways in which the world, the flesh, and the devil takes God's commands and takes God's blessings and turns them into a curse. Where God goes on to say here that there's going to be a lot of people stand at the great white throne of judgment, and they're going to say, but Jesus, we spoke to your mind, and we told her what we wanted you to do. Because that literally is the Catholic faith. And a few others as well. We told your mommy what we wanted you to do. And I can almost see Jesus looking at them and saying, that is not how things work in this universe. I am God. And there's none beside me. My glory do I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. It's me. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You never accepted me as your Savior. You always petitioned Mary. And have you even seen people praying to the Archangel Michael? That is blatantly anti-Christian down at Fort George, as opposed to the size of the pulpit. Pray to the Archangel Michael for us. My goodness. On RTE 15, 20 years ago, they were having tarot card readings. They were advertising this as part of their national, they were getting money off of it anyway. Can you imagine that? In one of the most, in quotes, religious countries in the world that now has one of the most liberal abortion laws in the world. And you know what? There is a time for abortion, just going on the subject of it. If a mother's life is in danger, not her mental well-being, and by mental well-being, her ability to go out and party and sleep around and not have her style, in quotes, cramped by a little child. That's not physical well-being. That's not a sickness. That's the responsibility of motherhood. There are instances where babies have had to be removed from an ovary, from a fallopian tube, a place that would not only would the baby die, but the mother would die too. And I'm okay with that. But not just because mummy can't keep her panties on. I'm not okay with that. There is a time and a place. Because a baby is inconvenient is not one of them. The Lord said, there's going to be a lot of people think they're getting to heaven. And they're going to find out that people that have given fortunes, people that have done what Norman did and devoted nearly a working year to rebuilding the church. Much of it at his own cost, using his own tools. And they're going to stand in heaven and say, well, God, I built the church, so I should be getting into heaven. God's going to say, I never knew you. You built that church so that I would owe you a place in heaven. Whereas Norman, he built the church because he was going to heaven. There's a difference, you know. Depart from me, I never knew you. But God, we were in church every day. You were in church every day. But let me tell you something, church never got into you. You never got saved. You never trusted me. You couldn't even be bothered to read my word. Do you know the amount of work I had to do to keep it in the earth? Do you know how many religious institutions that has had to withstand? Do you know how many godless pagans have hated it? And the greatest of them have been in the churches. My goodness, I never knew you. Get stuffed. I'm afraid you had your chance. You had your free will. And you gave off about the Christians and you made life difficult for them. You never even bothered reading my Bible to see what it was that it said about it. You're as thick as two planks. You're a fool. You rejected my word. You rejected my son. You rejected my free gift of forgiveness and everlasting life. You rejected a home in heaven. There's only one other place you can go. And that's hell in the lake of fire. I never knew you. And that's serious, folks. Do you know of anybody that goes to church that isn't saved? That's them. That is Jesus looking forward in time, seeing them at the great white throne of judgment and saying, by the way, there's a lot of folks who's going to be standing in front of me thinking that they're for heaven. Can you imagine the number of people, I am sure, whenever they open their eyes in hell, some of them may for a moment think they're in purgatory. The Mormons might think they're in a spiritual prison. And they'll think that if they sit there for long enough, that their sins will be burnt off them, and when they stand at the great white throne of judgment, they're going, at last, my good deeds are going to be weighed against my bad deeds. But even in Revelation 20 it says, yeah, your good deeds will be weighed against your bad deeds. But they'll be checking a completely different book, the Lamb's Book of Life, to see if your name's written in it. To see if you're going to heaven or not. And the Bible says, all those folks there, the dead in their sins, and their trespasses and sins, they're not going to heaven because their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's serious. And I don't take joy in saying that. I'm saying it outright and just putting it out there so that you know. But if you're ever speaking to someone and they ask you what you did at the weekend, make sure you throw in church. And you've heard enough sermons here to be able to throw together a quick message to someone if they say, well, what did you speak about? Well, I spoke about Noah and the great flood and how God warned people for decades beforehand there was a big flood coming, and he built a boat in the middle of the field. And nobody believed him, and they laughed at him, and they mocked him. Does it sound familiar? Until one day judgment came. And that was just a picture of judgments, the same in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the same. It's going to be the same whenever Jesus comes back. There'll be warning after warning after warning after warning. And that same thing is, even in the book of Jeremiah, there was warning after warning after warning after warning. And then the people, God was, there were probably enough people, all that was going to be saved was saved. And God said, right, it's time, you haven't changed, right? Judgment. It happened in Noah's day, judgment. It happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, judgment. It's going to happen again. You and I won't be there that's saved. But all those folks that rejected Jesus Christ as Savior over there, I would not like to be going through all of that. I want you to know something a lot of people say. Well, I never heard the Bible. I never heard about all of that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you three or four sayings that have passed into popular use and have been. If you Googled them, you might find that they have been in the popular vernacular or use for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. Did you ever hear of a fly in the ointment? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about a fly in the apothecary's ointment causes it to send forth a stinking savour. Did you ever hear a little birdie told me? That is in Ecclesiastes as well, about how a little bird of the air will carry tales. Pillow talk is in the Bible as well, where it talks about keeping the thoughts of your heart from her that shares the pillow with you, or words to that effect. That's in the Bible. That's in the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, and he wrote down in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Proverbs for us. And have you heard the old saying, it'll all work out for the best? You ever heard that? Do you know what the whole saying is, don't you? It'll all work out for the best for you as an individual if you love God, if you're saved, and if you do what God asks you to do. That's the only time it ever works out for the best. The only time. It doesn't work out for the best just because the seconds march on, and it doesn't work out for the best just because you're saved. It works out for the best when you're saved and listening to and obeying God. There's enough of the Bible out there in the Western world where people could get saved. Most folks in the Western world know that Jesus said you must be born again, that you must repent of your sins. I would say it's available in every single country in the world if you care to look. Even on Bethel's website, the full text of the King James Bible is stored in 2 files. It only takes up a tiny little amount of space. It's stored in 2 files. And so as long as that website's up and running, the King James Bible will be available to anybody that cares to download it onto a computer and read it. You can do whatever you want with it, but it's there. And for us now, the Lord said, there's life in my word. And what Jesus means by that, A, there's eternal life if you obey him. And B, there's a life to be had right now, a life, not just an existence, and not just skating through, and not going from one drunken haze at one weekend to a drunken haze at another weekend, but an actual life. With purpose, with love, with comfort, with strength, with power. It's all there. It's all to be had. For anybody that will bow the knee to Christ and crown him Lord in their lives. Not just once, but that's one of those things sometimes you have to do multiple times a day when you struggle with sin, the sin nature. But God said, do you see these things? These things that I'm telling you. And we've hit a few of them. The major one being you must be born again. He said, the man that listens to me and does, and when he says what listens, he means and obeys, he'd be like a man that builds his house on a rock. Now, I don't know about you. The house that I'm in has walls in some places that are about maybe 5 or 6 foot thick. Just big old stone walls. They're probably made with the boulders that were pulled up out of the fields whenever they were ploughing. And if you look out the side of the church, there's actually 2 or 3 rows of boulders just there on the other side of the fence that the farmer there did exactly the same. And they worked their way to the top over the years. And the slates are on them. Whenever the wind howls down over the hills and the rain beats on top of it, you can hear the rain. Literally like that. You can hear the slates rattling in the wind. There's a lot of prayers that have gone into making sure those slates stay there and those walls stand upright. But you know what? I go to sleep every night in the middle of those storms. And secure that I will wake up. No matter what rain falls and no matter what wind beats upon it. Because that is a sturdy house. But the Lord said, we need to be careful of the houses, the spiritual houses that we are. There's so many things that God says for us to do that will see us through the storms of life. And we should pay attention. Now, I'm going to finish that bit off in just a moment, but I want to give you a few of the alternatives that the world would like to throw your way. I don't know if you've noticed recently, but A lot of people believe a lot of different things. Some of them's crazy. Some of them's just out and out bonkers or just insane. Self-destructive. The ones that are biblically based that people believe, they're for the betterment of society. And you only have to go back about 100 years. People believed the Bible. Even people that weren't saved still believed the Bible and still lived their lives according to basic biblical principles. Yes, there was still trouble, there was still sin, there was still drunkenness, there was still immorality, but there was such a small amount of it. And society did well. England was coming down off of their high horse, and America was in the ascendancy because society was based on biblical principles. Families were strong, churches were strong, the country was strong. But the world, the flesh, and the devil have been working hard for the past, well, a couple of hundred years to undermine that and destroy it and to remove God from every single thing. And you see when you take the life out of anything, all you end up with is a carcass. If you don't believe me, take your chicken out of the freezer. When the heart's out, the lungs are out, the liver's out, the kidneys are out, the brain's gone, all that you're left with is a carcass. And it's not going to do anything. It's not going to get up and start pecking corn and laying eggs. It's not going to do that. And the thing about it is, society's the same. God is quite literally the only thing that injects sanity and life and reason and self-control into society. And when you take that away, you end up with a rotting carcass, and that's exactly what we have. A rotting carcass. And in that rotting carcass, there's a lot of stuff that's living, but it's not good, and you wouldn't want to invite it into your house, because I don't know about you, but any time the chicken is more than, once the chicken gets to more than 2 days old, it's on its way out into the bin for me. Do you ever do that at Christmas? The old chicken carcass went into the oven and it stayed there for a day or so, and you go in and you pick a wee bit of meat off. Like, you really couldn't eat any more, but you'd go in and pick a bit of meat off, or you get the spoon out and you go in and scoop the stuffing out. And even that, people freak out now when you find out the stuffing has been cooked inside the turkey. Oh no, my goodness, how did we survive for decades eating the stuffing out of the turkey? That always went first. But after a few days, you start to go off. You either have to freeze it or eat it or dump it. And that's where we are right now. People will quite literally, on what's left of this once great country, this once God-fearing country. Do you know of the, when was the Great Revival in the UK? Was that about 1850? About 150, give or take, years ago. Huge revival. Because people humbled themselves in the sight of God and opened themselves to not just believing in God, but obeying God, doing what God asked them to do. You must actually look the dates in that out. But now they believe anything except Christianity. Because the world is where God said it would be in Isaiah 5, they call evil good and good evil. Everything's back to front and upside down. Children run families and parents are behaving like children. Men want to be women and women want to be men. It's crazy. It's absolutely stupid. And people think that we're on the road to improvement and that the only troublemakers are the Christians and the Bible believers and the conservatives. And the reason that they believe that is quite simple. Because societies time and time again have proven that anything apart from biblical Christianity as a foundation for self, for family, and for country is you're not hiding to nothing. And they've come up with so many stories. It's okay to kill your children. It's okay for a man to get married to another man. My feelings are the most important thing in the world. It's amazing how that works until somebody else's feelings steps on their toes or steams their wallet. What else have we got? Oh, there's coming a new and glorious age of Aquarius. But first of all, there will be a great spiritual cleansing in the earth. We're actually talking about the rapture when all the Christians and quote troublemakers are removed. There are so many beliefs. What was that stone thing that was pulled down there just the other day? That said something to the effect that the world would be better if there were only 500 million people in the world. I wish that all of those people that believe that so strongly would do something about it. They'd just march off a cliff like a bunch of lemons and lead the way for their glorious new world. But no, they never do that. They always want somebody else to cover the cost for their grand ideas. We're bonkers. We're quite literally insane as a creature. We have stepped away from the solid rock, and we have stepped away from the Word of God. And there is only destruction after destruction. People dragging other people down as they try to climb over the top of them to get a sight of what's real, a breath of fresh air, or a sniff of something good and proper, and all that they're doing is killing themselves. Do you know the number of people I've spoken to over the past weeks, when they're talking about food, and I said, well, why don't you get together with your neighbours and approach a farmer and say, and just tell him you want to buy a couple of hundredweight of spuds, or you want to buy a cow. After you've slaughtered it and chopped it up, I want to buy a cow. Or a sheep, or a pig, or a couple of bushels of carrots. And we'll buy it, and not only will we buy them off you at cost, we'll give you a few extra shekels, we'll split the difference between what you sell them to stewards and what we buy them at. Why do people do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the government just spent the past 2 years destroying people's faith in their fellow man, breaking down even family relationships. Between Brexit, between Joe Biden and President Trump, and just spent the past 5 years breaking up families. These things aren't in the Bible. These things are anti-biblical. People say, why is democracy breaking down? I'll tell you why. Because there's hardly a God-fearing person in the world that's standing up to be counted right now. And most folks are only interested in themselves and their beers at the weekend and about scandal. Democracy works when most folks are decent, honest to goodness patriots, if you like, family men, family women. That's when democracy works. But you see, when everybody is selfish and self-centered and want nothing else but my four and no more, it doesn't work anymore. You need a benevolent dictator, and there's one coming, let me tell you, very soon. It'll be after the 7 worst years that this world has ever seen. And people will be ready for, most folks will be ready for the peace, the veritable Garden of Eden that he's going to bring in its place. But it's going to be difficult times, folks. Difficult times in general, but it doesn't have to be a difficult time in particular for you and me. Because we can live our lives according to what God says. We can obey God. We can crown Him Lord. We can go and do what He says for us to do, and knowing, can we know? Can we know that what God says is right? How do you know what God says is true? Do you ever stop and think? Well, I say I'm a Christian, but I've never really put it in the line. I've never committed 100%. How do I know God's true? Well, because everything that Jesus said in the Bible was going to happen has happened. Israel's a nation. Our technology's through the roof. People travel to and fro. Knowledge is greatly increased in Daniel 11. Matthew 24, the weapons of our warfare. We can wipe ourselves out easy. No flesh can see it. Every eye will see him, and so they can on a global communications network. There are so many, even to me, guys like me standing behind pulpits who refuse to speak about the gospel, who refuse to warn souls about the things that are to come. They're traitors. And they think of nothing but an easy life and holidays. And they'll bump up their salaries and they'll want another foreign holiday or whatever because life's difficult. In fact, you can even see that people have a lack a foundational lack of understanding. When everybody's screaming and crying for an extra 5 or 10% in their pay, who've just spent the past 2.5 years sitting on their backside watching TV, getting paid for nothing. It doesn't work like that. There's always consequences. There's always a payback. God said all these things were going to happen. Past 2.5 years is like someone putting their foot on the accelerator in fifth gear. They're going like 140 miles an hour and they've just pulled the brakes and thrown them out the window. People have no notion of country and no notion of family, and the only notion they have or understand they have is themselves. And that's not surprising. They literally put the fear of God into people. They said, oh, if you go out and talk to anybody, you'll get this virus and you'll die. That's what they said for 2 years, and people believed them. People still believe them. God said, you're going to have false prophets. You're going to have false messiahs. You're going to have false gospels. In fact, did Paul not say in the book of Galatians, guys, you change so quickly. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that I brought onto you to another gospel. Well, I'll tell you something, Paul said. Should even an angel come down bringing a different story, reject it. If someone comes telling you that the teachings of the Bible is no good, they're to be rejected, not the Bible. They are part of the problem. The Bible is the solution. It's not just the way to heaven for you and me, but it's the way through this life until we get to heaven for you and me. It's the power of God unto salvation, it tells us in Romans chapter 1. Regardless of all of the other sin that's going on around and about, you have the very power of God in you right now. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have at your disposal all of the sermons, the wonderful sermons, the short sermons that I bring to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the words of them when you need them. Don't ever be afraid when someone points a finger at you. Are you a Christian? There's a couple of verses in Matthew, I can't remember the exact quote, and they're repeated again in 2 Timothy 2. It says, if we deny him, he will deny us. That doesn't mean you not get to heaven. If you live your life as a secret agent Christian, never doing anything for Jesus, never stepping up for Jesus, standing up for Jesus, or speaking up for Jesus, you're never going to get the power to get through this life, and your life will be a crushing defeat. But pin your colours to his mast and fly the flag for Jesus Christ and live by the same, even just a little bit, just to start with, and see that he's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in him. That's what we need to do. Okay, every day, bit by bit. Until before you know it, you're trusting the Lord with your whole life. I guarantee you it is the cleanest and purest life to live in this world. And whenever you have your faith in God, and you're trusting him for stupid things like, what am I going to wear today, Lord, so that I don't get cold sitting at the front of the church? When you're thanking him for your food, I'll catch that later. It's a good job, I have a thick skull and thick skin. When you're thanking him for your food, when you're saying, Lord, what should I watch today? What should I do today? What should I put on today? What should I eat today? And when you're walking past someone and God says, you know what, we've been having a wee chat, you and me, just up until now, but there's somebody else, you could probably do with giving them a wee word. And God will put his hand on your shoulder and say, go and tell them what you've been telling me. And when you do that, that is the doorway to the very power of God working in your life. I'm not talking about lightning streaming from your fingers like the Emperor in Star Wars. I'm not talking about that. The boldness to stand up and say, I am honestly sick, sore, and tired of this huggy-feely, new-agey, everybody's feelings are very important nonsense that passes for a gospel these days. The Word of God says, sin is sin, and if you do it, you're wrong. Get right with him and he'll forgive you. That's what people need to hear. Not your truth. Goodness. There's either the truth or there's a lie, and that's the long and short of it. Your opinion, yes. Your truth, no.
And it's people. People are wandering about this world that has lost its geese, and the ones that are being looked to, the ministers and the preachers and the priests, they don't know their left hand from their right hand. They're working for the other guy. They're like the GOP in America, the grand old party, the Republicans, who are supposed to be on the side of conservatism, but did their utmost to destroy the country just a year and a half, 2 years ago. My goodness. That's what the way most of the ministers are in this world today. You're going to have hard times. You are. You're going to suffer loss. We're all going to suffer loss. Whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of health, the loss of money, the loss of prestige, the loss of peace of mind. You're going to suffer loss. Whether it's the hands of your clock taken away or somebody physically comes and takes it away, you're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer opposition. I will tell you one person who will never, ever let you down. That's God. No matter what the world takes from you, no matter who in the world opposes you, whether it's the world itself, whether it's the devil, or whether even it's your own feelings, God will never let you down. And anything that you have founded upon God will not let you down. No matter how much the world beats against it, no matter how much the devil tempts you from it, those things that are committed to God are kept. Whether it's your feelings, whether it's your family, whether it's your finances, regardless, things committed to God will survive. God says it'd be a fool to go any other way. Do it the world's way. You know what the world will do to you. And we see it happening now in this, the, put my glasses on so I can actually see the date. The 10th of July 2022. Go back in time, approximately 18 months, and listen to the world's news and the world media telling us how wonderful a president Joseph Biden would be for America. Turn the news on now and they're calling him a dollar and old spoon that can't tell his left hand from his right hand. That's what the world will do to you. They will chew you up until all the flavour's gone and they will spit you out. That is the way the world will treat you. And that's not how you treat people you love. And God loves you. And he will never treat you. You know what he said? I'll never leave you. I will never let you down. I'll never forsake you. I will keep you in the palm of my hand and no man can pluck you out. That is God's promise to you. And I had to write down a few things here at the very, very end. These are some of the things that God says. Some of God's promises. First of all, there's one promise he never makes. Life is not going to be a bed of roses. You're not going to be, in quotes, lucky if you fall into the foil. It doesn't mean you're going to be pulled out. There'll be a salmon in each pocket. And that lost bundle of 20 pound notes will be caught in your shoelace. He doesn't say that. He doesn't promise you an easy ride, but this is what he does promise you. He promises you caterpillar tracks for the journey. You probably know what the thoughts were behind the invention of the caterpillar track in the tank. What we need is a vehicle that has a road no matter where it goes. And some bright spark came up with the idea, well, why don't we just put the road on the wheels? And that's where the tracks came from. That's what God offered you. The world is going to try and trip you up. They're going to try and trap you. They're going to try and hang you up or throw a stick in your spokes at every turn. God offers you caterpillar tracks. He also offers you the wings of an eagle. Because whenever you're listening to God and whenever you're doing what he asks you to do, a lot of the drama, the imagined and creative drama that's going on in the world is just not going to apply to you. It just won't mean a thing to you. You'll soar over it, and people are getting wringing their hands and furrowing their brows and getting bent out of shape about stuff that wouldn't even exist if people loved the Lord. The Lord also said, or David said, that the Lord will make your feet like hinds' feet. You ever heard of that? He spoke about that hind. Do you ever see them running up the sides of mountains? You can literally walk up that wall, almost. And God says, I'll make your feet like hinds' feet. I will enable you to do the impossible. That's what God says. He said, I'll give you the protection of a loving father. Not only that, I'll give you the intercession of a loving big brother. And not only that, I'll give you a friend to stick it closer to the brother, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He can give you the words to speak. Someone points that everybody's looking at you and the spotlights are on you and it's like the big chair in Mastermind. Do you ever remember that? All those questions are so easy until you're sitting in front of 5 million people and they're all watching you and hanging you on every word. As they say, everything's easy until you're sitting in the big chair. God says, I have this stuff for you. He says, I'll even send the angels to look after you, to sort stuff out for you. I'll be your strong and mighty tower. I'll be the place that you can run to for safety. Remember what he said to Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens? And you wouldn't. What God had done for them and with them if they had. Just think about that for a second. He also has a good book for us. You know the amount of work that's had to be done to put that King James Bible in your lap and in your house. You know the number of people that have been burned at the stake to put the English King James Bible in your hands. Thousands and tens of thousands. Good book for you. A promise. Now there's things that are not compatible with a Christian life. Drinking, smoking, drugs, immorality, blaspheming, profaning. A whole bunch of stuff that's not compatible with a Christian life, but each and every bit of it is bad for you. And God says, look, I know sometimes people have been steeped in sin for so long that their sin is almost like their right arm. But you're better without it than going to heaven than going to hell whole. And by the way, if you have to cut your arm off, like the Bible says, and I'm speaking metaphorically, because it's going to drag you down, I got something that's 100 times better for you. It's like the opening to Steve Austin's Bionic Man. You ever see that? Massive rocket accident, he loses an arm and an eye and his two legs, and Oscar Goldman comes on and says, we can make him stronger, faster, better than before. And the guy could run at 60 miles an hour, but he always ran in slow motion. That was amusing. God says, I have a hunt, something for everything that you give up or is taken from you by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I have something that's 100 times better for you. I'm here to tell you it's true. Divine provision, assurance of heaven, the gospel armor in the book of Ephesians. All this stuff, every single thing that you and I need to live our Christian lives and more is there from God, the God that loves us. When we listen to him, when we take his words and make them part of our lives. Now I know it seems difficult. We're human, aren't we? There's an example in the Bible of a bunch of humans that heard God say these very things, and they said, that's cutting a bit close to the knuckle, Lord. I don't think we can quite take that. We still love to be out drinking on a Friday night. We don't drink very much, we don't get drunk, but we still like to go out for a drink.
Or, I'm single. It's all right having married men, not to be chasing around after other wee girls or wee boys, but I'm single, I can still do that. A lot of people don't like it. It does cut close to the knuckle, let me tell you. But there's a forgiveness there. Whenever you're honest with God, and you confess your sins to Him, He's just going to be able to forgive you. And He wants for you to have the best of lives. And that'll be had when you do it His way. He made us to walk and talk with Him and to fellowship with Him, to act on His behalf in this world. And that is the natural state of man. We introduced the sin nature. We threw a stick in the spokes. But there's a managing of it. There's a dealing with it. God has the way. And when you do things His way, it's different. And there'll be an old tug from the old man to go back and do it the old way because it's familiar. And it'll be exciting and it'll be new and it'll be interesting and you'll be watching it like a hawk. But God's way is the best way. And it's never changed. Not since Adam walked in the Garden of Eden with God. And not even till the very last page of the book of Revelation. Our needs have never changed. Our God has never changed. And His commands have never changed. And you can depend upon Him. And the people that are in heaven right now, they have the same rules and they could depend on the very same rules. From those people from hundreds and thousands of years ago. Same rules. Same chance. Friends, difficult times are coming. Difficult times come anyway. But biblical times are coming. There is a way through it, and a way to bear it, and a way to watch it, to survive it. But we need to do it God's way. In the book of Isaiah, there's a great wee verse. Isaiah 59. It talks about the enemy coming in like a flood. You know the way you relax for a minute and before you know it, you're neck deep in water. The Bible says when the enemy does come in like a flood, lift up. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Don't quit because you're in dips. Look to the Lord. Don't relax because things are going well. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Because I heard a preacher say one time, you're either in the middle of a temptation or a difficult time, or you're coming out of a temptation or a difficult time, or you're just about to go into one. You think of the Bible, it's replete with examples of people that relaxed. There's King David. Threw it all away. Whenever he was lying in his bed one day instead of being out for fighting wars whenever he was supposed to be. Friends, keep your eyes on Jesus. Do things His way. Give Him a chance. See if He can't do a better job with your day than the plans that you had set out. He loves you the best. He'll never do anything to hurt you. Amen. We'll stop there. I think we will actually. I went on more than 15 minutes, but stopping there this evening. Right, my pick for a closing hymn will be in the wee books. Mrs. Bradfield, would you play number 2 for us in the wee book? This blessed old book, if you would take it. Turn there with me and join me in a wee word of song. This blessed old book, number 2 in the wee black book. Thank you all for being good sports. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time. We've taken use the words and the sentiments and even remembered Bible verses, Lord, to make us better and stronger and faster than before. We love you and thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for salvation, Lord, and for all your teachings. Oh, Lord, help us as we apply them to our lives day by day. Please be with our absent brethren, with Ling and Dr. Shine as they travel. Colin, Charlotte, Pat and Steve to the Lord, and their son Colin especially. Mary Ann, Lord, as she prepares to prepares herself for surgery. So much stuff going on, Lord, and we leave these things at your feet. And help us all, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Father, and amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit. We are good.